Blog Talk Radio. Happy Wednesday morning to you. It is sunny here in Connecticut, where I am broadcasting from this Wednesday morning. And today's episode is going to be a mixture. I'm going to be speaking about the breakfast feeding program. I'm also going to incorporate it in some of what transpired here in our state on last Friday. I know I did on Sunday. I did an episode to the people in Sandy Hook. So what I want to do, I want you to join me this morning in showing respect to the community of Sandy Hook in Newtown. So if you would just join me in a moment of silence, I would appreciate that, please. Thank you. I want to read from Celebrating 365 Days of Gratitude. And I want to start off this morning with the entry from Marlene Martin and Daisy M. Martin. Our own tiny Tim. Tim overcame many obstacles in his fight to live. The first months were in critical care after surviving infant surgery. We brought him home 2 days before Christmas. Though he wasn't out of the woods yet, attached to medical equipment, he couldn't leave our house, nor could anyone visit, lest some small bug make him deadly ill again. Summer finally came, and his quarantine was lifted. His life was still a challenge. With such weakened muscles, he struggled to sit, and even more to crawl. When he tried to stand and take steps, he couldn't support his weight. He could walk if we held his hands. Without us, without us, his ankles gave way and he'd collapse in a puddle of frustration. Foot braces to the rescue. He was fitted with a pair and was up and walking within days. You have never seen a happier boy striding from room to room. He explored everything he saw with a grin as bright as the sun. We call him our little Tiny Tim since it was close to Christmas again. We are so grateful for the magical and most happy holiday, for the eagerness for life Tim expressed every day. I want to welcome Walter Misch. I see you, dear Walter. Good morning, and thank you for joining me this morning. I'm doing a combination of things this morning. I'm going to be talking about the breakfast feeding program, and I am going to talk about, some stress. I want to talk about my experience yesterday when I visited Sandy Hook. So I have... I notice, I think you are probably having you're probably having logging on problems, Walter, because I notice you are logged in twice. Same thing happened to me. I had a bit of challenge this morning with the lovely, lovely, lovely Firefox here this morning. So I am just so thankful you can hear me, like I am in a daze this morning. It has been a challenging week, but God is going to see us through. God is going to see us through. And I want to remind you that the number to call in is 646-915-8166. So please call in and let me hear from you. Yesterday, as a matter of fact, good morning, Walter. Yesterday, I went to visit... I went to visit Sandy Hook. That's where the massacre took place. Because I was home. I had not been watching TV like everybody else, but I've been reading it on the computer, and I was just going through an extremely, extremely challenging time with everything I was reading, and I just could not break it loose. And I figured the best thing to do is to go there and just go there. So I went there and I parked up on Churchill road or street, and I walked into the center of town, Churchill Avenue, I think it's called. And as I went through that light and I began descending the hill, there were so many cars that were parked on side streets, and people were walking. There were people who parked as far as all the way up on Big Y. Big Y, which is close to Route 25, and people were walking down and with bouquets of flowers, and people have cases of candles that they were walking down to put at the memorial. And I walk and I saw signs on mailboxes that were saying media not welcome, media not welcome. It was on the doors, and I saw all the trucks, media trucks, from as ladies and gentlemen, from as far back as Canada. There was a big news truck there that came from Canada. And you know, Sandy Hook Center, it's a small place, and it was so congested there. I'm not saying it was congestive to be in any negative way. So it was so touching as you walk down and to see the memorial, one home had green and white, which is the color of Sandy Hook School. That's their school colors, and they had their fencing draped with green and white cloth, and it was so beautiful. So for those of you, I have created the album that I took there. I took pictures, and I could still be there taking pictures. I wasn't able to take everything, but I try my best, and I wanted to give the viewers an opportunity to see intimately what is happening there, because I don't know that the media is showing us that. They don't show us any of that that's there. They're showing the other negative part and all of that. So I went and I came home with a renewed faith. I had hope and more love inside of me, because I went there and people were there. When you look at the license plates on the cars, people were there from way far back as Pennsylvania. I want to welcome guests 1292 to the show, and Walter Mish, and New York. There were so many New York plates, Massachusetts plates, you know, all over the place. And I began walking, and as I got closer and closer into the center of town, the tears just started running, streaming down my face. And as I walk into the center of the memorial, in the center of Sandy Hook, I saw people of all different ages, different ethnicity, people hugging and people embracing each other. And for those of us who were taking pictures, people weren't rushing you. And there were people that was kneeling in the middle of the memorial to pray, to render their prayers. There were letters written there. There were poems written there. There were angels. There were stars with the names of all the victims on that. And, oh, I tell you, it is such a sight to behold. And am I happy I went there? Yes. I had called a friend of mine and asked her to go with me, and she didn't want to go. But I am happy that I went there, because when people call me, like they have been calling me from Facebook and everything, I can tell them what I saw and what I felt when I went there. Later on, after I spent about an hour in town at that memorial, I walked up to the infamous firehouse where the kids ran to. And again, they had another memorial set up there. Beautiful, beautiful. Lots and lots of Christmas trees, beautifully decorated, the lights. You know, they had white buckets. There were stalks and stalks of teddy bears. And because it was rain, it was a rainy evening, and everybody was there, and people just walking in the rain. People didn't care about the rain. Some people had their candles lit, and they were just walking with them. But I saw so much love. I saw people who cared. I saw notes of people expressing their love. I saw, when I look on some of the ribbons that adorn arrangements, I saw from the Buddhist temple. I saw from all over. So people did not get religion or anything in the middle of this tragedy. People reached out. And I am thankful that I was obedient in going. So check on my Facebook page. You'll see the picture there, the album that I created for the Sandy Hook community. And you can share that album. Somebody write and ask me if it is okay to share it. By all means, share it. You don't need my permission to do that. I took it because I wanted to give people an alternative to what they were seeing in the media, to know that people care, and there are hundreds and hundreds of people there. People are just walking around looking and crying and embracing each other. That's what I saw. And I know with God's help that a new town is going to come back stronger. Stronger, stronger, stronger than this. It's going to be stronger. As a matter of fact, the world is going to be much stronger from this tragedy. Because we are strong people. And for those of us who believe in God, we know that God has our back. And what I want to say to those people who have not yet accepted the Lord, I ask you, don't wait any longer. Today is your opportunity to do that. You must accept the Lord and let him be a part of your life. Because when things like this strike, the only thing that we have is our faith. The other thing I want to speak about is that I look on Facebook and there's so much ranting and raging about priors being took out of the school. Yes, but my encouragement, instead of spending all your energy ranting on Facebook, why don't you begin to get priors back into your homes? Because once it is in your homes, your kids will go out equipped. So regardless of your spiritual belief or affiliations, be sure to pray with your child or children every morning before they leave. And while they are on the bus going, you're going to pray the prayer of the blood over them and on that bus and the bus driver, and you pray it over the school that they are protected with the blood of God, with the blood of Christ. It is important. We as parents, we cannot keep blaming and pointing fingers at what could have, would have, should have happened. You know, let us do our part. It is our responsibility to groom our children in the image that we want them. I listened to Emily Rose's cousin last night in an interview, and one of the things he said to the gentleman interviewing him, he says, we are a family that have strong faith, and we know that we are going to come out of this. Our faith is going to see us through. And although our friends have set things up on Facebook and they're supporting us, we just want you to pray for us. I want you to pray for us, he says. And this is all, I mean, yes, we can donate and all of that, but all that we need to do is to continue to pray for each other. Because, ladies and gentlemen, regardless of where you are listening from this morning, this could have happened in your community. This could have happened in your country. But it not for the grace of God. So, the one thing I ask is that it doesn't matter how old our children are. Let us still express to them how much we care. Express to them how much we love them. And they are never too big to get a hug. I know my son is now 30 years old. And when I was down in Jamaica the other day, every opportunity I get, I hug and I embrace him. And I was hugging this big 6-footer man, and I had to be tipping on my toes. But I got to be honest to you, when I hugged him, it was as if I was hugging that little baby. And please, as parents, whether you are biological or extended or adopted parents, let us reach out and just embrace our loved ones and let them know how much we care about them. Okay? The number to call is 646-915-8166. I want to read one more entry here for you, and then I'm going to speak about the breakfast feeding program, and then I'm going to go into other aspect. I think speak about what we can do in stressful times, and that it's. I'm just doing a mixture of different things this morning. Thank you, Granny, from Nancy Paul. I am grateful every day for my grandmother, Nettie Wolf, who taught by example the importance of independence, giving back, humor, and family. At age 70, Granny became an entrepreneur. Long before that word was used commonly, and opened an antique store with treasures we bought in Europe when I was a teenager. Instrumental in the Palm String Desert Museum and Eisenhower Medical Center, her philanthropy shaped my world view, inspired by volunteerism, and is the root of my new business, helping college-bound students win merit scholarships through community service involvement. Granny was my role model, dignitaries, leaders, and people from all walks of life were drawn to her generous spirit, compassion, and playfulness. She was committed to making the world better, one gesture at a time, big or small. We shared tea with Ambassador and Mrs. Annenberg at the American Embassy in England, and ate popcorn from a nearby movie theater as we watched Dynasty together every Wednesday. To brighten the mood at a very tense party, Granny mentioned it was her birthday. Hostility turned joy as the group put aside their difference to celebrate. She never told them her birthday was really 6 months away. Phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal. Beautiful. Yes, as let's move on to the breakfast feeding program. Okay, Walter wrote, I spoke with a spouse of one of the first responders, and we talked about that morning and what the media is doing, like making a circus out of the tragedy, blocking the through rumors and move more thank and blessing to all first responders. Okay, thanks, Walter, for the yes, for that note. And that's why I saw all those signs there. I tell you, it was evident yesterday when I visited Sandy Hook that the media just was not welcome there any longer. They had the signs up that was saying that. So on the note of children, I want to shift to a more positive note, and I want to take you to this link, http://www.gofundme.com/1G4M38. That's the link where you can go on donate for the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Program. You will see a picture there of the little canteen that they have. They cook in one side, and in the other side there is the refrigerator and the freezer where they store things. And the Lord has called me to start the breakfast feeding program there at the Carmel Moravian School in Westmoreland, Jamaica, West Indies, which is one of the rural towns. When I was growing up there, they did not have running water. They did not have electricity. Thank God things has changed now. I went there, they have electricity and they have running water, well, water from a tank at the school. And for that, I want to give thanks. However, the challenge that plagues the school is that they do not have breakfast. So children are coming to school hungry in the morning. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's no different from when I was going to school. The only difference is I can remember waking up hungry. However, I did not go to school hungry, and I'll tell you why. I was from a farming community, my parents were farmers. And every night when my mother would make dinner the night before, there was some staple, some kind of staple that was put away for tomorrow, like a dumpling. And dumplings is not like what you buy at the Chinese restaurant here. It is a solid dough made from corn, fresh grated corn or cornmeal, and or some a yellow yam. And that was put away for breakfast tomorrow morning. Sometimes when it was breadfruit season, it would be roasted breadfruit and callaloo, or sometimes callaloo with sardines. Sometimes it was fried plantain. But because we were on the farm, there was always food to be had. But what I've noticed now when I go back there in the community, the young people are very Americanized and they are not farming in the community any longer. So the things that we were accustomed to, that I would go to school eating that food that was left the night before, and either my mom would fry it to warm it up, or they would warm it on the fire coal. It's charcoal, but it was not charcoal like you know it here. It was coal from the wood that was burnt that they used to cook the dinner. And that's what my mother used to heat that yellow yam on, or that dumpling, or to roast the banana or the plantain. Because sometimes when they never had cooking oil, they would roast everything. So this is why now I can tell you I'm an excellent cook. I don't have to have a recipe to make you anything. I just want to see what I have, and I will create a gourmet meal out of it for you. So although we were poor too, but our parents made sure that we had something in our stomachs to go to school. You and I, ladies and gentlemen, we know that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. When you and I go to work and we don't eat, we know how we feel. Our bodies are lethargic. We don't have the energy. So can you imagine a child going to school, expected to learn without any food in their stomach? Their systems is not going to be geared for learning. So I am thankful that God has called me to work on this project. And through that project, I have founded the Empowering People Foundation. The Empowering People Foundation. And we are working on the website now. So in a few weeks, we will have the website all ready, which will give you another option to donate. I have on Facebook the Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program, which is created there. I encourage you, as you go out to shop for your families this Christmas season, I ask that you buy one less gift for yourself. And if you would donate something to the breakfast feeding program, it will be a true blessing to you. So far, I've gotten the first $100 on GoFundMe, thanks to Mr. Michael Koch for doing that. And I also have gotten a total of $117.53. That is different donations that came in other way. from other sources. I want to thank you, thank you, thank you. And I ask that you tell others about it. We are looking for donations of plates, cups, utensils. We also are looking if someone will fill a wish list of paying the salary for the cook, whether you want to pay it for 2 months or 3 months or a year, whatever it is, that you would say, okay, Daphne, here is what I want to do. I want to take on the responsibility of making sure that the breakfast cook is paid. That's one of the things I have on the wish list. And I know God will make all of this happen. My prayer is to have the breakfast feeding program up and running when school gets back in January. And we are planning everything. But I tell you, while we are getting website in order and everything else, the children are hungry. And they need to be fed. So I'm reaching out to you to help me let this dream be a reality. When we calculate it out at the main, at the mere basic, to give the kids a hot breakfast, it will cost us a little less than $5 US to give them a hot breakfast 5 days a week. And when we combine the pre-K, the early childhood school, and the elementary school, which is on the same compound, we have a total number of 100 children. So, you know, I'm thankful that is not 200 and 300. So it will be easy for us to feed 100 children. So I'm praying that in a few weeks, I will be able to give you the website. But in the meantime, the site for you to go is gofundme.com/1G4M38. And you can go there, and whatever donation you can give is greatly appreciated. Every little makes a muckle, they say in Jamaica. Another thing they say in Jamaica, one cocoa full basket. What that means is that whatever you give, it is going to bring us closer to getting the breakfast feeding program started. One of the other things that I have gotten a revelation about since I began working and this project is that the Lord wants them to have a cafeteria. Right now, when you look at the pictures, you will notice that the canteen, which is, it's not a far distance from the classroom. It's a few yards. However, when it is raining, in rainy weather, the children has to walk in the rain to pick their food up to go back to the classroom to eat it. And what happens if they slip and slide and spill their meals? That means they are going to be without lunch because everything is cooked exactly. They do not have a lot of excess to replace that which is spilled. So I think God wants them to have a nice cafeteria where there is covering that leads from the classroom to the cafeteria, where they can sit, eat, and fellowship. And after that, they can go back to their classes. Doesn't matter whether it's raining or not. They will not be wet and nobody will lose their meals. And we don't have to worry about snow there because it's a tropical climate there. It's just sometimes there's lots of rain. So I am depending on you. I want to encourage you to support me on this. And if you're a business owner and you want to be a funding partner, you can call me at 203-794-6208. You can call me and I will give you details how you can be a founding partner, and you will be able to get tax return on that, because we are a nonprofit. We are a 501c3 organization, and you will be able to get tax refund from that, and you will be listed on the foundation website as a founding partner for this amazing, amazing project. One of the other things, I'm looking for people to go down to help us with the launch. We also looking for t-shirts with the logo on it and the breakfast feeding program that the volunteers can wear and that the children can wear there once we launch the program. And we just need your support. Don't sit back and say, well, I don't have a lot of money. Because if it's $5, if it's $10, if it's $3, if 10 people give $3 a piece, that's $30. And we will be on our way. So don't sit back there and say you don't have anything. Call me at 203-794-6208. Let's talk about how you can be included in there. If you have an organization that I can come to speak about it, please invite me. I am speaking at the Rotary Club here on the 15th of January about the project. And the other thing, I'm creating a list of people who want to go down and work once we start with the construction of the cafeteria. You know, we're looking for an architect too who will design it once they hear about what we have for a land space. So God has a great plan for the community. There's other areas that we are going to be empowering them in. You know, we are going to encourage the parents to go back into their farming. If they can grow the products that we serve at the cafeteria, we will buy it from them instead of going to the farmer's market to get it. We can buy it from them, and they will have it as a means of income. So it is going to be empowering and impacting the community. So I want to thank each and every one of you who sees it fit to support the Carmel Moravian School Breakfast Feeding Program. We have it set up on LinkedIn. We have it set up on Facebook. You can donate by going to PayPal. And we know that this will be a successful, successful project. We know that many lives will be changed because of what we are looking to do in that community. There will be stories coming out of there that will help to change the world. Nothing is impossible. If each and every one of us decide that we will join arms, we will create and we will accomplish magnificent, magnificent things. So I challenge you to reach out, be bold, and just step out. We need your support. We need your money. We need your manpower. We need your encouragement. Because once we go down and start doing work, we need different people to come down there and support us in this project. So I want to thank you for your donation. I am praying that later on today, I will begin to get the emails that people are donating. I don't care if it's a dollar you can give. It is going to be a dollar less than I need for these two projects. So go to the website again, http://www.gofundme.com /1G4M3 8. Go there and support in whatever way you can. If you can donate 50 cents, we are thankful. If you can donate $50,000, we are thankful. If you can give $2 or $5 or $1 or $20, whatever it is you can give, we appreciate it. Don't focus on what somebody else donates and say, oh, I don't have that. No, you give what you have. Remember the widow? She gave her mite, and Jesus says she gave more than everybody else there. Because what? She gave what she had. She gave what she had there. And that's all I'm asking for you to do. I'm asking for you to give what you have to the breakfast feeding program. All right. I want to read one more, I think. I probably read a couple more, but since today is the 19th, I want to read the one for the 19th, which is my mom from Kathleen Spike. And of course, I'm reading for the celebrating 365 days of gratitude. I am so grateful for my mother, 96. I am so grateful for my 96-year-old mother. She has lived her life courageously, responsibly, vigorously, placing a high value on certain learning and this uncertain learning. Despite a life of very hard labor, she lives with an attitude of gratitude for all the small things, good things, she calls them, of life. Life, like a surprise gift of a few plums from a nearby tree, or an unexpected visitor who drops by to visit. I see her grateful simply for the opportunity to live her life. She lives alone, arise at 6 a.m. every day, cooks almost all of her own meals, and her mind is clear as a bell. She believes in her immune system and her body's ability to stay well. She takes no medication unless she decides it is warranted for some special reason. Lost my section here. lives alone. Let me start back from here. Arrives 6 a.m. every day, cooks almost all of her own meals, and her mind is clear as a bell. She believes in her immune system and her body's ability to stay well. She takes no medication unless she decides it's warranted for some special reason. I will be forever grateful that she is an imprinted in my mind and body this legacy of love, mindfulness, health, and acceptance in good spirits for the realities of one's life. Thank you so much, Kathleen Spike, for sharing this amazing, amazing story. And you know, what is age? Age is just a number. You know, I had a birthday last Tuesday. Yeah, it's just a number. And so long as we take care of this temple that God has blessed us with, we should not be able to, I mean, we should not be complaining about I'm old, I'm this, and I'm that, I am the other. I always tell people, you know, we cannot go into all the spare parts for our bodies. Yes, sometimes people get on transplant lists, but then that list becomes so long and congested. So we don't always get what is needed. So why don't we begin to take care of that what we have? All right, let us switch gears. And I know that this time of the year is always, always very stressful times. And as if the holidays are not stressful enough, now we have this tragedy here that we are dealing with here in Connecticut. And we become extremely tense. As entrepreneurs, we did not accomplish everything that we were set out to accomplish in this year. So we get stressed out about it because today's the 19th of December. And we didn't get this done and that done and the other done and the other done and the other done. Instead of stressing yourselves out and getting depressed, why don't we begin to work on the plan for 2013 now? This is what I'm doing for my business and for my life. The other thing I forget to mention before I go into this, I want to encourage you to visit my new website, Daphne Clark Hudson. Daphne Clark Hudson empowers.com, and you will get free ebooks there. There's a great ebook there for Christmas, some of the things to do for Christmas so you don't get all stressed out. And there's other ebooks there about empowerment, and you get some free DVDs there. Although Christmas is meant to be happy and joyful, this isn't how anyone feels at this Christmas of this year. Christmas can be stressful and depressing. Yes, and there is a very good point, Walter, because I think the reason that is so is because a lot of emphasis is being placed on the material aspects of Christmas instead of us focusing on the true reason for the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. People get so bogged down by all the commercials and all the new gadgets that, oh, I must get this for Christmas, I must get that for Christmas. But especially with what happened with our children, let us not replace, our personal attention and love to our children with all these expensive gadgets for this Christmas season. Because although here in Connecticut, Christmas is not going to be the same for us, because this tragedy happened 11 days before Christmas. So we are always going to be thinking about that, even though we are going to be healed from it. We are always going to be thinking about what happened on the 14th of December 2000 and 2012. It's time when we get wasting money. Yes, Pia, people is always buying this and buying that, and you know, even people who are at odds with each other during the year, when Christmas comes, they go with those expensive big gifts as if that is going to mend or heal what's going on. So, you know, let us evaluate and assess who we are as a people and some of the things that we are doing. Because I am my responsibility and you are your responsibility. But the one thing I can tell you is that if you demonstrate or manifest that which you are and what you want to get, that's what you are going to attract to you. So don't get back down and say, oh, I can't buy anything this Christmas. Do you have a phone? Can you call somebody up and say, da 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 da? There must be something encouraging you can say to that person. You don't have to give them a quote-unquote gift. Your relationship and your positive conversation with them is the best gift that you can ever, ever give to a person. So please do not use material things to replace your relationship. All right? So while I wait on you to call 646-915-8166, I want to talk a little bit about stress. And I want to read here from this, what is stress, from this stress management book written by Jenny Steinmetz, Linda Brown, John Bacon-Ship, Deborah Hall, and Grace Miller. Great collections of psychologists. And here is what they say about stress. Stress is a term being used more and more commonly by people to describe what ails them most in modern society. In a medical sense, stress has been described as the rate of wear and tear deeply in the body. There are varying degrees and difficult forms of stress, mental, emotional, and physical, all having an effect, sometimes positive, sometimes negative, upon health. Stress, in fact, is an integral element of life. We are all equipped with innate stress alarms that allow us to react effectively in many situations. Without any stress, there would be little constructive activity. Normal excitement and pleasurable emotions may evolve stress and tension and are accelerating. This type of stress is important and healthy, provided it is followed by a relaxation rebound. That is, after being wound up, the body returns to normal level of functioning and does not carry tension beyond the time it is necessary. Imagine the last time you felt the following symptoms. And grab a piece of paper if you want to list these symptoms. I will read them slowly for you. Mind going a mile a minute. We always say like our mind is racing. What I want you to do, I want you to imagine the last time you felt any of the following. Body tense. Hands clamming. Heart beating rapidly. And your stomach churning. What emotions were you experiencing? Anxiety? Anger? Frustration? Those are the ones most commonly reported. But do you remember the last time you were really feeling romantic? Excited about someone or something, or intellectually challenged? You probably experience many of the same physical symptoms. Your body experiences stress when you are upset or when you are excited. We label the first set of emotions as negative and the second set as positive. The purpose of this stress management program is to help you reduce the amount of negative stress you experience so that you can fully enjoy and appreciate those positive stress experience. The problem in our post-industrial culture today is that the degree of stress has become excessive and harmful. Rapidly paced society, fast food, fast travel, fast fun create many pressures for each of us. We are constantly faced with a sense of urgency. I want to welcome guest 1478 to the show. The pressure to accomplish more and more in less and less time. Technology innovations, more information and communication faster every day. Environmental and job stressors are air and noise pollution, overcrowding in the city, jobs dealing, pressures, and work overload are increasingly present in our everyday lives. Unfortunately, Many of the behaviors admired in this society contribute to high level of stress, such as ambition, drive, extreme goal-oriented, financial success, and competitive spirit. The only odds to the effect of the stressors already inherited in the physical environment. One result of this state of affairs has been the emergence of the type A behavior pattern. And this came from Friedman-Rosenman research in 1974. This is old information, but still valid. A behavior includes the presence of several or all of the following characteristics. This is 10, so I'm going to read them so you can list them. Moving, eating, or walking rapidly. Hurrying the ends of sentences. Feeling impatient with the rate of which most things take place. Polyplastic, thought or performance, doing or thinking about two or three things at the same time. Driving to work while shaving and eating breakfast. It's interesting that I'm reading that. I was in Puerto Rico on vacation, and I was in a tour bus. And I looked out the window, Walter, and there was this woman who was eating her lunch. It was around lunchtime. And she was putting on her makeup at the same time at the traffic light. And I said, oh my heavens, I cannot believe this. Number 5, feeling guilty about relaxing or doing nothing. Thinking about business or work while on vacation. Scheduling more and more in less and less time. Having difficulty listening to others because of preoccupation with one's own thoughts. Spending so much time acquiring things that there is no time left to enjoy them. Believing that success is due to the ability of getting things done quickly, and thus being afraid to stop doing everything faster and faster. And you might be this person that I'm going to describe as a personality. In general, type A people are the aggressive and extroverted. They will have very strong personalities and may tend to dominate conversations. They have an excessive competitive drive and a continual sense and time of urgency, and may be easily aroused by anger. They are often ambitious, fiercely impatient, and drive oriented. Stress can be caused by other people. Is there an aggressive screamer in your life? And by you, all by yourself, I will never learn this material. It is important to determine the source of your stress as well as your common stress symptoms. Then you can try the suggestions we present in this program and determine which works the best for you in reducing or less managing your stressed life. There is no way short of total isolation to eliminate stress in our lives. And indeed, who would want to do away with the joy and excitement? You will still have to deal with crazy drivers who pay less, your alarm system screaming. The trick is to be able to become calm quickly and to avoid prolonged stresses. It is the chronic ongoing stress experiencing at home or school, at work, even competitive plays, that is ingenious. In order to reduce this stress, you will want to shift gears periodically throughout the day. You will want to differentiate between situations you can change and those you cannot. You will want to change some of the ways you talk to yourself. Remember, some months ago, I don't remember if I did it on here or on the TV. How is your mouth serving you? This book is designed to give you a sense of awareness of what causes your stress. We will call these things stressors. And then to have you recognize your stress, And then to have you recognize your physical, emotional, and behavioral symptoms of stress, following this section in a number of techniques will be presented by changing your reaction to stresses. Today, with a number of exercises and an example to help you personalize and develop your best strategy for stress management. And treat this book as a clothing store. Try everything on that way you will know what fits you. Some techniques may fit you perfectly. Others may need to be tucked or two or make them right for you. And still others may not fit you at all. At least at this time, the important thing is to know to have some ways that make you feel more in control of your stress in your life, more joy and less frustration. All right, I want to open up the phones, and I want you to call 646-915-8166. And I want you to tell me what do you do? How do you manage your stress? Let me see here. Let me see what Mr. Walter has here. He has some good stuff here, but I'm reading. Your heart pounds faster, muscles tighten, blood pressure rises, breath quickens, and your senses become sharper. These physical changes increase your strength and stamina, speed your reaction time, and enhance your focus. Thank you, Mr. Walter, for that bit of research. According to the American Institute of Stress, Madrid physical and emotional disorders such as strokes, heart attack, viruses, and depression. Yes. So I, you can type it, Walter, and let me know, or if you want to call in. What do you do to manage your stress level? Because you will never be able to alleviate it, because you heard me read, you need both. And I want to start with myself. I enjoy meditating. I enjoy sitting by the water. I live in a lake community. And oftentimes when I'm feeling stressed, I'll just go down by the lake. And I just sit there staring at the water and just be still. I also enjoy massage, and I enjoy meditation. And I used to do yoga years ago, but I found a new yoga teacher now, and I'm looking in 2013 to start back yoga. And a lot of times I just put some music on and I sit down, close my eyes. Sometimes I have a cold compress on my forehead. Other times I don't, because it depends on where. If I'm in my office and stuff, I don't have any cold compresses there. But I enjoy just being still. Another thing I enjoy doing when I'm stressed is journaling. Just do what I call freestyle. I open my journal and I just begin to write, freestyle. And then I close it. Sometimes I don't know what I write until I go back and read it another time. So find out what works for you. And learn how to adapt your body. Remember, your body is yours and you are in total control of it. So learn how you can adapt it to what's going on with your life. Those of you who have been listening to me for a long time, you hear me mention about bending with the wind. And stress is one of those winds that we encounter in our lives, and we got to learn to bend with it. One of the other things I do for controlling my stress is to go for a walk. I don't do that very often. I need to do it more often. I call my friend Bridget up and we would go walking and just enjoying the scenery as we go, you know, the leaves, the trees, everything. Just enjoying. And a lot of times we are walking and we're really not saying anything, but just the peace and tranquility of hearing our footsteps and just admiring. So that's what I do. The other thing I like to do for my stress, I enjoy taking aromatherapy bath. I love it. Yes, Walter says he savor a warm cup of coffee or tea, play with a pet, work in the garden, get a massage, or curl up with a good book. You go, Mr. Walter. Yep. All good stuff. Yes, as a matter of fact, I'm glad you put pet in because I have my Toby here. And I know a lot of times when I'm stressed, and he and I will cuddle up. It just relieves the tension. And laughter, yes, laughter is a good medicine. And I know you say you listen to comedy or you watch comedy. So each of us needs to know ourselves. We need to know ourselves. We can use a collection of different things. Because, you know, they say what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Find out what works for you. You know, managing your time, very important. Yes, yes, Walter, that's a whole different topic for another time. Because we run ourselves so raggedy and have everything so closely together, we don't get time to manage our time. And again, that adds a great stress because the day is coming to an end and oh my God, I didn't do this, I didn't do that. How am I going to do? And you start ripping your hair out. You start yelling at everybody around you and all of that. So slow down. Take a deep breath. Take a deep breath from your diaphragm and just relax. You are never, ever going to get any more hours in the day. The one thing you will get is your ability to manage that time properly. Just manage it properly and it will get you out. You know, soothing conversations too helps with your stress. Sometimes you're not looking for somebody to give you advice. You are just looking for somebody to listen to you. So each and every person ought to have two friends that you can do that to. People who will call you or you will call them. When the stress is piling up and you just vent and you're not looking for anybody to say, oh, if you had done this or if you had done that, they are just listening to what you have to say. And, you know, what I like is at the end of that conversation, I say to the person, and now, what are your plans? What are your plans? What do you plan to do with all that you have talked to me about? And the person will continue to tell me their plan. And then we take it from there. So I am a sounding board and I am a listener. I am not an advice giver. Connect with others. Spend time with positive people who enhance your life. And a strong support system will buffer you from a negative effect of stress. Yes, support systems, circles, gatherings, you know, whatever it is you call it, networks. You know, I just like how George Frazier uses the network. He has like a card with different black dots all over it. And you look at it as just mere black dots. However, when he connects those dots, you all of a sudden see a whole different thing. It's now become a web where all of us are connected. It doesn't matter where you are. So a network is very important. I know a few years ago, one of the chaperones came here from France. And I did some coaching with her while she was here. And I continued coaching her on Skype when she went back to France. And so we developed a friendship. And she keeps in touch with me and she's ever so often sending stuff to check in with me on for us to brainstorm about it. Yes, laughter is a great medicine, Walter. You know, but you know the sad thing, Walter, is that a lot of people don't laugh. I don't know why. People find it challenging to laugh. I know I have a belly-wrenching laugh, and I don't apologize for that. You know, I just enjoy a good laugh. And it doesn't matter what's going on in my life, I find time to laugh. So I don't apologize for laughter, and I don't apologize for laughter and just having good fun and having a joyful time. You know, because I have to be happy. I must create my happiness, because if I don't, then I'm choosing to be depressed and to be carrying around stress. So I focus on challenging my stress so that I can have it at a manageable level. And I tell you, being an entrepreneur is extremely, extremely stressful, because one of the big stresses we have is that if we don't work, we don't earn. If we don't earn, we don't eat. So as an entrepreneur, you're continually under the bell, pressing in. Well, what am I going to do today? I don't have anything on the books. How am I going to get things on the books? It happens to each and every one of us. So, here is what I am doing come 2013. To be sure that I operate more effectively as an entrepreneur. I am reaching out. I'm getting me a virtual assistant that will help to manage my administrative aspects of my business. I am going to be looking for someone who will manage my social media accounts. I am going to be looking for salespeople who will go out and sell advertisement for both my radio and my TV shows. I will be sure to compensate them for the work that they are doing. But I'm no longer going to be doing everything myself and bog down myself with stress. So I am positioning myself to get involved in as many, many joint ventures as I possibly can. In other words, I don't have to be greedy to say I want all the money for myself. I can be open to collaborate on projects with other speakers. And so that we are in this together. So what I was going to be doing all by myself, I can partner with four or five people as a joint venture, and we can impact more people, and we'll be able to reach more numbers. You're going to find out that by me implementing all of these things, I'm going to be able to free up my weekends, where I can begin to enjoy and balance my life. I'm the first to tell you that I have control issues. I'm always concerned about, if I get this virtual assistant to work with me, are they going to be giving my material to other people? Are they going to steal my material and doing this and doing that and doing the other? But you know what I found out? I cannot sit and worry about those things, because if I do that, I'm going to be keeping myself in a box, and I'm never going to be out there. So I'm copywriting my things, and I'm moving full speed ahead. If people copy it, I said, you got my blessings. You copy it, but you still won't be able to do it like I do it, because I am unique and I am authentic. So I am blessed if you use my stuff. You know, just give me credit for it. But I can no longer protect everything I have out there on the market and say people are not going to copy. You know, it is shameful, but people plagiarize all the time. And it's just shameful that that is what the world do. But now I'm stepping out boldly from behind all of those barriers that has been holding me back as an entrepreneur. So I encourage you. I am in the process of reinventing my business and myself, my message. I am in the reinvention business. So if you are looking for a coach who will help you to reinvent and transform you, your career, and your business, I want you to visit my website at http://, DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. I encourage you to go there, sign up, become a member of my organization there, and you will get free ebooks, you will get DVDs and CDs just for signing up. You will also be kept informed of all the work and things that I am doing. So that is what I am doing, some of what I am doing for the coming year to make sure I am not stressed down out. The other thing that is of vital importance to me, and I will be doing a lot more of that, it's my spiritual wealth. I got to be honest, I have slacked up on my prior life. When I say slack up, I have not stopped praying. I have slowed, and the frequency in which I prayed had gotten less. But today, the 19th of December, 2012, I'm recommitting to go back to the frequency I had in the past, where nothing got into the way of my prior life, and nothing is going to get into the way now, because I have a strong faith and I have a strong spiritual relationship. However, my hours of prayers have been lessened, and I want to ask God for his forgiveness and that, and thank him that even though I slacked up on my prior life, he has not slacked up and granting me his favors. So he is such a faithful and loving God. So with that being said, there's always an opportunity for second chances. Always. You know? Always an opportunity for second chances. So it's okay for the goals that you did not accomplish this year as an entrepreneur. The one thing I can tell you is that you know what did not work last year. And you will make sure that in your plan for next year, you are going to incorporate those things that work. So jot down all the lessons that you learned in your life and in your career. And I forget the name of my Facebook friend, but one of my Facebook friends shares something that I think is so brilliant. And because I don't remember his name, I cannot give him direct credit for it. However, if you are listening and you were the person who wrote this on Facebook, you know who you are. He says that he's getting a huge, huge empty jar. And what he's going to do in 2013, he is going to enter on a card everything good that happens to him in everyday life. And he is going to keep drop the cards in there. And what he's going to do at the end of New Year's Eve of 2013, he is going to empty that jar out and he's going to make a list of all the amazing things that happens in his life. And I love that so much until I said, I'm going to be doing the same thing for me. Because a lot of times we are complaining so much and whining about what we have, what we don't have, and what we didn't get done. Yet we have not taken the time to notice all the amazing things that has been done for us. The other thing that I encourage you to do, I encourage you to get an empty picture frame. The size is up to you. I want you to visualize the life that you want. I want you to visualize the business that you want for yourself. Every time you look in that picture frame, see yourself collecting the check for the $10,000 speaking gig, the $5,000 seminar, whatever it is. See yourself, you know, walking across stage to speak to the big corporate group. Are you being the keynote for the largest conference in the world? See yourself in that picture frame. See yourself accomplishing everything that you want to accomplish. You might want to accomplish being a millionaire. So you can have the money to do all the things you want to do for your community or for your nonprofit. See yourself in that picture frame, accomplishing it. Nothing is too difficult for God. Absolutely nothing. Nothing is too challenging. You know, I was speaking with a friend of mine, and she says, you know, she's a pastor, she live out in the Illinois, and she was saying, you know that our Father is not poor. He has a lot. And she shared that years ago, many, many years ago, she had a vision about a specific car. And she knew that that was a car she was supposed to get. And so many years later, her car died. And she went looking for a car and she called about a certain car. And they told her that the car, somebody else was interested in the car. And she said, as she prayed, that the Lord said to her, stop looking, because that car is yours. I have ordained for you to have that car. You don't need to look any further. Well, needless to say, I think 3 days after she called the dealership, they call her back to tell her the people have forfeited on that and that she is welcome to come and see that car. So you got to know what it is you want. I want to share one of my manifestations or affirmation if you want. And you can listen to me share this and you can insert yours in there that you think applies to you. It says, this day is blessed. I am blessed. We are all blessed. Thank you for the blessings in my life. Something wonderful happens to me every day. I attract miracles in my life every day. I am successful every day. I am a money magnet. I like money and money loves me. Lovely money manifests for me 24 hours per day. I am healthy, strong, full of energy. I'm supremely fit and fabulously healthy. I am happy. I am healthy. I am wealthy. The wealth of the universe is circulating in my life. This universal wealth flows to me in avalanches of abundance, immediately manifesting all of my life's desires. And this is for me, whatever it is for you, you can say what it is. I love creating empowering programs that positively impact the lives of millions of people worldwide. My success as a creator of empowering programs is forever expanding, and my income is always increasing. And this is the part you can fit it in for you. My next affirmation is that I love earning, and I put amount of dollars this month and every month. And I love earning certain amount of dollars every year and every year. You do the numbers that suit you. My next affirmation is, Dynamic Daphne Clark Hudson, empowered millionaire extraordinaire. Thank you for the blessings in my life. I am empowered for life. You got to create your manifestation. You got to create that which you are about. So just as I have that manifestation that I do several times throughout the day, you can create one for yourself. Know what it is that you are about, what you're seeking. You got to seek what you speak. You got to speak what you seek. So don't look around and blame anybody or any circumstances or any situation. Look for that which you speak and go out there and do it. I am just so excited about all the things that is happening. And if you are listening and you are someone that manages social media accounts, I want to speak to you. I want to get you in my network. If you are a voiceover professional, I am looking to speak with you too. And I want to encourage you. I want to thank you for joining this segment this morning. I want to encourage you again to visit the http://www.gofundme.com/1, the letter G, the numeral 4, the letter M, the numeral 3 and 8. I encourage you to support the breakfast feeding program. I tell you, if you touch one child, if you touch just one child, it will make a phenomenal difference in your life. And the Spirit just put it in me that I should probably set the program up where different businesses could sponsor one child for the breakfast program. I want to see how much it would cost for a year to feed each child. And I want to allow entrepreneurs and businesses to sponsor a child. And whatever you want to do in that child's life would be a great thing. So, you know, just great ideas. Every time I speak about it, the Spirit deposits something else. So again, we are here twice a week on blogtalkradio.com. I encourage you to follow me on Twitter at Dynamic Daphne. Visit my fan page at facebook.com/DynamicDaphne. facebook.com/DynamicDaphne. Please like my page. Also, I want you to visit the page for the National Association of Professional Women and like their pages too. I have been blessed to be appointed the president of the Litchfield chapter of that association, and I am looking to have our first meeting on January the 10th. And if you're in Connecticut or New York, I welcome you to attend the meeting. The meeting will take place at the Litchfield Inn on Bantam Road in Litchfield. Gorgeous, gorgeous place. God has blessed us to be there. So mark the show favorite. Follow us, please. Sign up on our mailing list at DaphneClarkHudsonEmpowers.com. And, you know, get the free stuff and call me up and tell me how they are working in your life. You know, I got to share this story. Someone calls me from, I forget where they are from. Is it Colorado? Or someplace, I don't remember, but one of my Facebook friends. And what you know is that she is part of the same book, Conversations on Success. And one day I had used one of her entries on my show. And there I was speaking with her significant other, and he told me that she was in the book with me. And then I mentioned that her entry on the show, and she says, "Oh, I was listening to the show that day when you use it." So what do we know? This platform opened up everything. So I just wanted to say, Shelley, it was a pleasure meeting you, and I look forward to stay connected to you. And who knows, maybe one of these days we will be writing something together. So that was just to show gratitude for one of my contributing authors, who I was able to speak to on the phone because of her significant other calling me up after the tragedy happened on Facebook. Isn't Facebook amazing? People reach out by messages and everything. So on Sundays, we are on at 7 p.m. Normally we go 7 to 8:30, but sometimes, depending on what's happening, we go until 9:30. So on Sundays, we are on from 7 to between 8:30 and 9. And I'm looking because I think when I don't know if I need to tell you Merry Christmas now. Because, yeah, I got to tell you guys, have a Merry, Merry Christmas now. Because next Wednesday is going to be the day after Christmas. So, Merry Christmas, everybody. I love you, I love you, I love you. I appreciate each and every one of you. All 80,000 of you, I appreciate you listening, sharing the link for my my show. Thank you, Walter, for posting the meeting date for the National Association of Professional meeting in Litchfield, at the Litchfield Inn. So again, I was saying, all 80,000 of you, my listeners, I thank you for your support. I'm looking forward to us growing tremendously next year. And I know God has great things for this show. He's going to have this show doing things that eyes have not seen or ears have heard. God has a powerful, powerful plan. And you are going to be part of that. So you stay tuned. You know, sign up the list. Follow me on Twitter. Write remarks on the show. And just support us. And if you are looking to volunteer in any way, we are looking for your support. Merry Christmas to each and every one of you. Happy Hanukkah. Happy Kwanzaa. And for those of you who is just merely celebrating the holidays, I send you good wishes and cheer as well. This is a marvelous time of the year. For me, Christ is the reason for the season. However, I'm not going to be prejudiced against you. You know, Christ is the reason for the season for me. And he is the Lord of my life. I want to thank Walter Misch for supporting me here. And I know, Walter, that we're going to be doing great things next year. God has a great plan for all of us. I wish you continued improvement in your health and that God will just do marvelously, marvelous miracles in your life this holiday season, this Christmas season. So I hope that what I have said this morning, I also ask that you continue to pray for the community of Newtown and all the families, each and every one of those families, to pray for them continuously and that they will find it in their heart to forgive and to love. And each of their babies that went home, that they will be able to find a worthy legacy to create in their memory and in their honor. I am honored again that I was able to go to that location and take those pictures. Look at the pictures and share them, share them, share them, so the world can see more love and more intimately into what is happening there in Newtown, and not just get bogged down by what the media is showing. So get the pictures, share the pictures, and have a Merry Christmas. Yes, I am on next Wednesday, but it's going to be after the Christmas holidays. And remember, buy one less gift for yourself and donate to the breakfast feeding program by going to http://gofundme.com/1, the letter G, the numeral 4, the letter M, and the numerals 3 and 8. I look forward to your donations, and I pray that by you donating to the breakfast feeding program, that you will be abundantly blessed. Again, I want to thank my producer, Walter Misch. I want to thank each and every one of you that have been listening. And again, have a Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy Kwanzaa, and I'll see you next Wednesday. Stay blessed, and I love you.
What's the plight that you've called me to? The thing I'm set aside to do. I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart? Praise Him.
praise him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call.